Welcome to K-Drama Musings, where you'll find reactions, reviews, and recommendations of K-dramas and more. I am your host, Carol, and I'm delighted to have you with me today. If you like what you hear, I invite you to join me on Instagram at K-Dramas Musings for more fun content. If this is your first time listening, go ahead and subscribe. K-Drama Musings is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you like the show, please give me a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Your support is deeply appreciated. Let's get to today's show. Today, we are bringing you a halfway review of Destined With You. I have a very special guest with me, and you have all heard me talk about her on my socials. Roan's number one fan and an amazing woman herself. Listeners, join me in welcoming my friend Sylvia from K-Dramatics Club. Yay. Hi, Sylvia. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm happy to be here finally talking to you on this podcast. Rowan's number one fan. I think Kay might fight me for that title, but yes, I claim it.
Well, we'll get to know why you're number one over Kay in a few.
Ooh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you beat her out. That's why I put it in there. But I'm so happy you're joining me today. And when you said you were being open to being a guest, I was excited because I miss our Clubhouse days and us getting together and just talking. And we're always DMing mm-hmm. About dramas and life and everything else. So it just felt natural to bring it to the audience. So I want to thank you. I also want to take a moment to give you your flowers. I know I say it a lot, but I really appreciate and love you for your friendship and all that you do with me and for me. So thank you.
Me too. Yeah, I can't believe you'd mentioned this. I can't believe it's already been, what, 2 or 3 years since Clubhouse, because that's how we met.
Yeah.
And for all the youngins or the people who missed that, it was an audio app that was very short-lived, but for those 2 years, so, so fun. And I am grateful because I did meet Carol, you, the K-Dramatics, a lot of friends I don't think I would have connected with otherwise. And you know, it's crazy when I think back because everyone was in lockdown. We were able to connect with people in the Korean entertainment community just because of our interests. And, you know, the K-Dramatics got really big. I think it was the first and the largest, you know, K-drama club, which shout out to Guile.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think I was watching True Beauty at the time and no one else, like none of my other like friends in my quote unquote real life were really watching it. And so it was exciting to be able to jump into the K-Dramatics room and just talk about it. I know not everyone liked it, but I think it was just such a fun outlet for me. So yeah, I'm very grateful. So glad. Full circle moment. We're here. Carol, I appreciate you, obviously. All
Thank
of our talks.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. You just took me down memory lane with Clubhouse. I remember us having like directors and writers sneak into our rooms to be like, what's going on? Who are these people who are talking about K-dramas? Why are there so many people across the world? And one thing that's stuck with me was they had no idea. They kept saying they had no idea that other people would be interested in dramas, which blew me away because I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, well, for the longest time, right, K-dramas were really for Korean people. So I grew up in a household, I was Korean-American, lived with my grandparents for a long time, from middle school. But my parents, grandparents would bring home boxes of VHS tapes, right? So there were these pidiopangs, video rooms, I guess, rental places, like a Korean Blockbuster, essentially. Every week, they would, I guess, somehow record these videotapes of shows, and then you just would rent them out to the community. So I grew up watching it. I didn't always love the things that were on. Like I will mention some of the dramas, and they're very obscure, and not a lot of people except for Korean Americans will know these. But yeah, for the longest time, just for Koreans, Korean Americans. So I think that's why people are still in that mindset, especially folks who are big older, who grew up in the 80s, 90s, you know, 70s.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, the K-drama that just forever turn me around into a fan was It was in 1997, Star in My Heart with Anju, Choi Jin Shir, who RIP, and Train Pill, right?
Yeah.
So very classic one, but I was in middle school and it just, man, it was just for me. So ever since then, I've been a sucker for rom-coms with a good love triangle.
Yeah.
Especially if there is someone that's like tall, dark, handsome, you know, that sort of thing, which is why we're here.
Roan. Okay. As Roan's number one fan, you have a story to tell because you actually met Roan. Can Indeed. You tell us more?
Yes. You know, it's so funny. Every time I think about it, man, my adrenaline and dopamine just surge. So I was lucky enough that my work trip to Japan last year coincided with his fan meetings. And obviously, it was not planned. I could not have planned it. And Japan was under lockdown still. So you couldn't get in unless you had a work visa or you were going through like a group travel agency. So anyways, very lucky. I want to say it was quote unquote destined, right? but yeah, I was able to go to 3 fan meetings. I bought 1 ticket through your friend, by the way, shout out. But, and Japanese ticketing is extremely difficult for some reason. But I was able to connect with some Korean fans who said they weren't able to make it. And so I was able to use their tickets. Yeah, they were like, can you please go? I bought 2 tickets for the same day. It happened to be on his birthday, August 7th. So I went twice in Osaka and got to spend his birthday with him, which was amazing. And then I think your lead up was more about my, what is it, unsanctioned meeting with him. But you had joked about this. I feel like you're a little prophetic, but you and a couple other friends had joked, like, what if you fly on the same plane as him going to Korea? Because I was flying out the next day from Japan to Korea. And lo and behold, my heart dropped when I saw him like walk out straight to the gate, unmistakably him, right? But I was in shock. So I was taking a couple photos. I think I was like texting y'all being like, is this him? Oh my gosh, it's him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously he's sitting up in the front. I passed him as I was boarding. And then I was in my seat and I was just like, should I go up? Should I not? Should I go? I was like, why not? When else? So ran up there once the stewardesses kind of, you know,
settled everyone down.
Settled and yeah. And I was like, no one can stop me. And so tapped his shoulder and then he, you know, had his little earbuds in, took it out. He turned around and my goodness, we were both masked, but oh, the eyelashes, it is real, y'all. So got to say a little hi, bye. I didn't say, oh, I'm a fan. No, not cliched like that. But yeah, so got to
say a little cute. Something.
Yeah, got to do that and then ran back to my seat. Yes, I cherish that memory for sure.
I love that. And it reminds me of her private life with Park Min Young and how she was just like, oh my God, this is my favorite person. I'm way older than you, but you're my favorite person.
Yes, calling me out. Yes. It's very true. And you know, I think she even said this term, right? There's a term called 성덕, which means it's an abbreviation for 성공한 덕후, which is like a successful fan.
Yeah.
And so I consider that. Yeah, I'm definitely in that club. So yes, definitely the right kind of private life. I live that out, my little Korean drama life. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Kay, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Roan 6'3 is taken.
Oof. Yes.
So please take a back seat. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about the show. So why we're here today is to talk about Destined with you. And it's all cosmic for you, really, Sylvia.
Yes.
To have met him and now we're watching a show with him and we're talking about him. Let's start with a brief synopsis for everyone. So a lawyer bound by a centuries-old curse becomes entangled with a civil servant who holds the key to his freedom. This is directed by Nam Ki-yoon, who also directed Tunnel, Oh My Baby, Kiss Sixth Sense, and Big Bet 2. And it's written by No Ji-seol, who wrote Scent of a Woman and 100 Days, My Prince. Now, this is not all their work. I just picked the notable ones that I knew and that I had seen, right? In terms of our cast, we have Jo Boa, who plays Yi Hong-jo. We have Roan, Jang Shin-yu, Ha-jun, who plays Kwon Jae-kyun, and Yura, who plays Yoon Na-yoon. Mm-hmm. Now, Jo Boa has acted in Tale of the Nine-Tailed, Military Prosecutor Doberman, and Temperature of Love, amongst other things. And our darling Roan did Extraordinary You, She Would Never Know, Emmy winning, The King's Affection.
Get his roses.
Yeah, exactly. Tomorrow, Destined with You, and A Time Called You, which he appeared for 7 minutes. And those were the best 7 minutes of the show, in my opinion.
So good.
And then we have Ha-jun, who did Cheong Dang-dum Scandal, Six Flying Dragons, Arthedal Chronicles, Gael's favorite show.
Season 2's coming.
I know. And Crazy Love, amongst other things. And Yura. Yura did Forecasting Love and Weather and is from the K-pop girl group Girls' Day. So she is an idol turned actress, just like Roan.
Yes.
Okay. Sylvia, have you seen any of the projects we've mentioned so far?
I have seen some of them. I haven't seen either of the shows written by the writer, but from the director, I've seen a couple of his stuff, like Tunnel, Oh My Baby. And of course, all of Roan's shows and a few of Jo Boa's shows. And because she's been around, I think, for, gosh, like 10, 15 years now. So yeah, I've seen some of her things. And then I've seen a smattering of the other two. Like Ha-jun, honestly, I did watch Arthedal Chronicles, but I don't really remember him. And then with Yura, I did watch her recently in Forecasting Love and Weather. And then she's been in some shows. Yeah, how about you, Carol? You said you've seen all of these?
Yeah, I have seen all of these. I have a interesting relationship with Jo Boa. I do not entirely enjoy her shows. And so this is the first one that I'm actually really enjoying. I've loved all of Roan's and Ha-jun's, actually, because of the cast also, the rest of the cast. And Yura, I'll be real, I did not like Forecasting Love and Weather.
Same.
I thought it was a dud, but I watched it, so. Here we are.
Yeah. There were redeeming moments, but overall it was kind of a slower drama and I didn't love her character in it particularly.
Yeah, I agree. So we mentioned Roan being an idol and it just came out recently that he has left or is leaving SF9, which is his K-pop group. Do you think he'll go by Kim Seok-woo now, which is his real name, and leave Roan behind? And how do you feel as a fan?
Yeah, no. I mean, we can't not talk about this because it's been in the press quite a bit. So I don't know that he's left SF9. They said that he would always be the ninth member. I think he will just not be actively participating. However, on like the wikis and stuff, his name has been taken off. So it's one of those things. So yeah. I think, one, as a fan, I support his decision. I'm sure it wasn't just his decision, but, you know, at the same time, for me as a fan, I hope he feels freer, lighter, more at peace. Reading the recent Another Magazine article that some of you guys might have seen, it really made my heart ache for him because he's always very honest, I will say. He doesn't share everything. He's very private, but at the same time, what he does share, it feels very genuine. And so he said he hit a low point last year and he had been struggling, but he just didn't really say anything. But as I think back to even his fan meetings, the event with ANZ, which has been a longtime sponsor where he shared some things, the stuff that he did share, it kind of makes sense. And you know, he did say he took a long break, even though all of his staff had said, hey, you need to keep going, right? Like that is the industry. When it's hot, you got to keep going. And he did take a very long break after Tomorrow, and he admitted to burnout. So I get that. And then when I've been chatting with other Rowan fans around the world, obviously we all just want to cheer him on. And of course there is wistfulness from a personal viewpoint. I'm sad because I may not ever get to see him perform with his whole team. But I do hope that this marks a new chapter for him where he can just solely concentrate on acting, because he is just, man, he's skyrocketing. He's doing so well. He's in his element. And I think for folks who have been following him for a while, you can tell he's been struggling for the past 3 years a little bit. He's been trying to juggle all the activities with the team, with his filming, you know, even with the last album release, Puzzle was the showcase, the song, and Zuul wrote it, right? So yeah, his teammate, who he's really close with. And I think that was part of why he fought so hard, and he had to fight so hard to be a part of the release and the performances. I'm disappointed that his agency, FNC, did not handle it better. And I think a lot mm-hmm. of other fans would echo that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, you know, you got to give him his credit. He started as a young trainee in his teens. It took him 6 years to debut, right? Like around 20, at the age of 20. And then he was an active member of SF9 for 7 years. So from 2016 to 23, he spent half his life in music, if you think about it like that. He's a 27-year-old man. So it was a wise decision for him to realize he just couldn't keep going like this. He was spreading himself too thin. And it was a lose-lose situation. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And a lot of SF9 fans were, I mean, understandably a little bit upset when he wasn't showing up to things that SF9 were. But at the same time, I think his agency probably and his manager directed him. If he's doing so well solo and bringing attention to the group with those activities, and that's where the money's coming in, like it's hard to make a business case for you to continue to just, you know, do the music with your group. And I don't think it was for a lack of him not wanting to.
That's so true.
Yeah, I don't know. I read the handwritten letter he put up in the fan cafe. You know, he specifically mentions things around misunderstandings and not being able to address every single thing and feeling frustrated by that. And then I read Yongbin, SF9's leader's letter as well. And it just made me think it must have been very, very difficult for all of them, but particularly Rowan, because he is a very like sensitive and kind of like very considerate person. He thinks a lot. So the misunderstandings, I know they came from the fans, but it sounds, this is just my assumption, it sounds like there might have been misunderstandings with the group. And that's hard, right? Like your friends, you've been together for so long, and to have some of that tension, that's difficult. I also noticed Zuul turned his profile picture black after that announcement went off. So yeah, there's feelings. There's a lot of feelings there.
Yeah. And they've been together for years. Yes. So I completely understand the pain. And it sucks when you don't feel like you're getting the support, the exact support that you need from your company. Because I can definitely see them pushing Rowan towards more acting, and that's making them more money, and you know, all these CFs, commercials mm-hmm. that come to him, and this and that. But is it us as a group, or is it Rowan?
Yeah,
and that can leave hurt feelings for all members, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely, right? Like you're happy for your friend, but you're also like, it brings a lot of complex nuance to it. But I will say, you know, especially if you look back at his early interviews, he always used to say SF9 Rowan. Like he always represented. And if anything, I think it has brought more fans into fantasy, the SF9 fandom, because of his efforts. And more people do know about actor Rowan than they do about idol Rowan, right? So
yeah.
It's both those things. But you did mention, you had asked about his name. It's interesting. So I was thinking about this. There's only a few other similar cases that come to mind for me, but namely P, aka Rain, right? He's mm-hmm, mm-hmm. he was known as an idol, a singer, and he still is, but he goes by Chung Ji-hoon, his real name, when he acts. And he's done some amazing projects. He's a fantastic actor. And yes, Rowan might go that route, but and he has said, he said multiple times, he loves it when people call him his real name, Kim Seong-woo. Yeah. However, I think it's worth mentioning that he has also made it a point to carve out a life. He said, in order for Woon to be successful, Kim Seok-woo has to have his own life and thrive, right? So he's always kind of distinguished those two. And Woon, he's made that distinction of it's a stage name, it's my professional persona. And because of that, I think he will continue to do all of his acting and projects under Woon and keep his personal life private. That's just it for now. Maybe it'll be different in the future. But yeah, cheers to them. Cheers to Roland. Cheers to Kim Seok-woo as they embark on this new stage of life.
I agree. I think he's such a sweetheart online. And I know we don't know him personally, but mm-hmm. we're rooting for him. And we want him to have all the success he desires, really.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about Destined With You. What are your thoughts so far on the show?
It gets better and better for me. And obviously I'm biased, y'all. But I have rewatched almost, I think, all the episodes. So what, 10 of them have come out now? And that is very rare for me to do. I don't usually do that with shows that are currently airing, especially after I've just watched them. I think what makes it so great is there's a lot of backstory and character development that they slip in. The directors, the writers did a great job of just kind of planting those things. And so every time I rewatch, I'm noticing new things. And my, can I just say, the show shows all of Roman's good angles. You know, she knew.
Right?
Yes.
There's no bad angle.
No bad angles, y'all. Like, it's just beautiful. Visually, it's just really, my gosh. Like, you need a prompt for that. Yeah.
I agree.
And the character of Shinyu, right? He's a perfect person, quote unquote. Untouchable, above reproach, right? Like, he's cold, but at the same time, like, he kills it at work. He's known for being tall and like visually striking. Like, he's from a good family. There's just like nothing to really, like, there's no flaw there. But if you notice, in front of Hongjo, Cho Bo's character, he does let his guard down quite a bit. It's like he's embarrassingly honest. It's super cute. He shows his petty side, his jealous side. All the things come out. And I actually feel like some of the best scenes are when he is jealous. I think you and I agree on this part. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I think that part of that too, that softness that comes out, you see it also when he interacts with his mom. And he is, right? Yeah. Versus like the way that his dad interacts, he's like that perfect kind of foil, I guess. But yeah, his mom is also just really young at heart, loving, warm, kind of like Hongjo, but can be a little accident prone, can be a little messy, you know?
Yeah.
And whereas his dad leaves his mom alone and lonely and gets annoyed, it's like Roon kind of steps in and is so, you know, I mean, he does nag, he does whatever, but he really tries to take care of and loves on Hongjo, which is so cute.
Which makes me love his character so much more, because typically in our K-dramas, you have a very cold exterior guy, and then the guy or the girl melts his heart, and then he becomes better. But this time with Roon's character, Jang Shinyu, he is already a softie.
Yes.
But I think what he's doing is because, sorry, spoiler alert for everyone.
Oh, yes.
I hope you've watched already at least the 10 episodes, because this is going to be filled with spoilers. I do apologize for not notifying you in advance, but we're going to jump in. So as I was saying, because his character is so soft, I feel like he has intentionally put this exterior, like cold exterior around him, because he doesn't want people to come close. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's gonna die eventually. Yes. And that's what I think his character is doing by pushing people away, or by being like super sarcastic, or keeping people at arm's length. But as soon as he's home, he's just lovable. Mm-hmm. And when he was on the phone with Hongju and his mom comes and she's like, come hang out with me. I was like, oh, first of all, he's still living at home. Okay. And second of all, he seems to have a good relationship with his mom when they were trying to decipher the text he got from Hongjo, and even the dad coming in and being like, oh, wait, what is that about? Okay, let's get into it together. So they do seem like a very cute family. And I also believe those two are his parents, because yeah. I think the casting is fantastic. I can believe that's his mom.
Yes.
And I can believe that's his dad, the height. Mm-hmm. And with his mom, she is beautiful. Oh my gosh. I just love her. And I think it's the perfect casting for that family.
Yeah, and even the personalities, you know, the yes. way that, yeah, they kind of come together. That's yeah. so true. It's such a different character than he's played.
Yes.
You know, he's always been the good guy. He's always been the really chakan, nice puppy dog. And you do see aspects of that. But mm-hmm. like you said, he's doing much more to cover it. And there is a scene that he actually mentioned in an interview as well, where he said it really like got to him. Is there's a scene where, you know, his dad, if anyone, should understand what he's going through. They're both cursed, right? Or they're mm-hmm. both suffering this affliction. And that's why Shinyu keeps people at arm's length. He doesn't want anyone else to get caught in what he considers, right, like his downfall, his spiral. And I think he says to his dad, you of all people should understand why I can't say I love you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then the fact that for his dad, he's just so focused on you need to get married and I guess produce an heir, right? Keep it going. But yeah, it's just so interesting. The characters are just so well developed and thought through. And this is what, you know, the writers, the director, the actors themselves bring.
Yeah.
It's yeah. And Rowan has said he just always tries to filter everything through the lens of Chang Xinyu. And Chang Xinyu-ness, right? Like, what would Chang Xinyu do? How would he think? How would he approach it? Versus, like, from his lens, which is terrific. And, yeah, I think also the chemistry between the main leads. Their yes! lines are so funny. Yeah, they go back and forth, right? Like, there's no chance to catch your breath. And in Korean, they call it tikataka, right? Tikataka. And usually that's a key thing that real life couples look for. The fact that you can just banter, have good conversations. Do we get each other? Is it fun, right?
Okay, let's yeah. talk about banter for a moment. Because I have a really good girlfriend who anytime I'm talking to a guy, my filter is, do we have tikataka? Like, do we have that banter? And if we don't, then I'm just like, no, he's not the one for me. And she's just like, Carol, banter is not everything. But I feel like it is. True. Banter is not everything. But for me, I feel like you gotta be on your toes. Because I can hit you with anything. Can you respond? And when I'm looking at the people around me, I just feel like someone who has good banter is able to put themselves in any situation and thrive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can they keep up? It's a good indicator. Like you're saying, it's not everything. It's a good indicator of compatibility.
Yeah. And,
you know, a lot of, for me at least, I'm married, but it's, what is the foundation? Is it friendship? And yes. do you want a friend that doesn't get you and that you can't have fun with and that you can't do life with? You know, it's like, I think that's what I'm trying to get at.
But exactly.
Yeah. So I 100% understand if there's not that chemistry from maybe not the get-go, but at least like 2-3 dates in, you know, it's like you don't have any teeth like skin in the game at that point. So it's okay.
Yeah.
You can definitely like look elsewhere and wish them well. But yeah, the tikataka, it's a big one. And for Shinyu and Hongjo, even their fights are so adorable. I love it. Yes, because their feelings and their thoughts just end up spilling out. They're just so honest and it's so cute. Like even before they realize they're falling in love.
Yeah.
It just comes all out.
Yeah. Because they're destined to be with each other.
Yes. They're destined to be. They're an inseparable, you know, relationship, connection, destiny.
Yeah. Yeah. Now with Hongjo, I know she's bubbly. She reminds me of her mom, as you mentioned. She is bubbly. She is a loner, which is another similarity. And I love that her every emotion is on her face. Whatever she's feeling, you can tell. And I think Shin Yoo is sensitive to that because he's able, like the first time she went to his office and she's like, oh, I need to tear down the shrine. And, you know, I want to be able to have lunch with my team. He has a moment in his face where he was sympathizing with her. Mm-hmm. And then he's just like, here's the anti-bullying number. Go call them because I don't want to have anything to do with you. Yeah, you do. You do.
Yeah. It's like recognizes like in some ways. They're both lonely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And as for Kwon Jae-kyung, I find him a mystery right now. I'm not sure about him and whether... I feel like, one, did he have anything to do with their past? Because this is very much giving See You in My 19th Life vibes in the story. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, okay, are you an enemy of her in some way? Or are you giving forecasting Love and Weather Song Kang's character where... He has a difficult family, so he's trying to keep his distance. That whole speech he gave her about, I'm a cold guy, don't like me, and all of that. I'm like, I don't know. Sucks to be you right now, because now he's really trying to go after her, and she's just like, I moved on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The bus has left the station.
Exactly. It's gone.
Life is timing.
Timing, yes. Yeah, it's so important. Okay, what were go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, did you want to touch on the other characters? There's not a whole lot, but there are some supporting. Were there any that stood out to you?
Yoon Na-yoon's character is very annoying, but I guess that's what she's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's her role.
I cannot believe she's working with the stalker guy. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I felt bad for her because I was thinking, oh, what if the stalker guy got pictures of her and who she's cheating with? Mm-hmm. But it looks like she's just a mean girl.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I feel you on that. There were a couple points where I did feel a little bit bad, but I'll just say I'm not a huge Yuda fan. Not for any particular reason. I think it's just both the roles I've seen her in, just I don't love them. And she plays a cheating girlfriend, so, you know, don't love that. But I also don't feel like she deserves Shin Yoo, right? So she was a bully. She doesn't seem to have grown out of that mean girl behavior, like you're saying. I think we have a little, we're going to talk about predictions later. But yeah, I have some thoughts around the whole nursery shop owner and her working together colluding thing.
Yeah.
So we can get into that later. But yeah, Na-yeon, you know, she's there. She's useful. The nursery shop owner, they're the baddies. We need them. But are they annoying? Yes.
They are. And I love Grandma because right now Grandma seems to be the Cupid's bow for our main couple.
Yes, that's so true. She's not in a lot of scenes, but she's very pivotal.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I love her relationship with Hongjo, just how attached they became really quickly. Yeah,
so quickly. Mm-hmm.
And I love the relationship she has with Shin Yoo. The guy says he's lonely, but he has a lot of people around him who really love him and that's he really loves. So
that's a great insight. It's true. It's not like he doesn't have people yet. Yeah, I think because he's afraid of losing everything, he just himself puts a shell around. Because he has a best friend, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's briefly talk about the best friend. Do you think the best friend likes his mom?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I don't know. So just going with my gut feeling, I don't think that this is necessarily a romance line.
Okay.
I think that, if anything, he serves to be a reminder for the mom of who she was and her value as, you know, and like the fact that she's still an attractive woman and she's valued and all these things. and maybe her past life as an actress. So he serves to bolster her up and acts, you know, kind of like as a counter to her husband. But I don't know. I can't, like, that would be a whole messy storyline, and I just don't see it going there, you know?
That's true. I agree with you. I think it's a cute storyline. I like that he's there for her. I do think that it will bring her back to her husband in some way, and her husband is going to see, hey, you know, this marriage is not just functional because I needed an heir. I actually love my wife. Yes. You know, yes. That's at least that's what I'm hoping. If they were to do the romance type, I do think it would take away from the main story, because that's a story on its own.
Exactly. And can you imagine that conversation that you would have to your friend? Like, hey, I want to date your mom. It's like, I don't know. It's just messy. And I think, yes, you're right. It would detract from what's going on with the main couple.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about some of our favorite scenes.
Let's.
Because we've had so many since we've both watched this show. Only 10 episodes. I'm sure we've watched each episode maybe twice or three times.
Yes. And some scenes more than that. But yes, all the Rowan scenes, obviously. From the most recent episodes, from this week, 9 and 10, what I have loved is the expressions that Shin Yoo shows on his face when Hong Jo calls or messages him, right?
Yes.
It's a reversal from the first few episodes where he was just kind of one-way love bombing, texting, whatever. He couldn't stop himself. But now Hong Jo is reaching out to him out of concern, out of jealousy, all the things. And you can tell when her name comes up. By the way, did you notice? This is a spoiler alert. Her name has changed in his phone. So after that, yes, it's Lee Hong Jo now. So it's her name. Versus before, it was like
civil servant
from the haunted house or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, he heard her when she was like, hey, don't live like that. You should use my name, blah, blah, blah. So he did. But you just can't help but smile. Like, I don't know. When I see him, like, looking at his phone, smiling, getting the whole thing, it takes me back to the early days of dating. So love that. And then obviously shout out to the red hand, the bloody hand.
Yes!
The internet went crazy for that.
I was trying so hard not to put spoilers. So I think I gave it a couple of days, but I was just like, this hand thing is sexy. Am I watching the right show? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. It was hard to tell, right? At first, you're like, is he enjoying this or is he in pain?
But when I went online, people were like, oh, this is creepy. And I was like, wait, it was supposed to be creepy? Because the first message I got was like, ooh, this is nice.
I mean, it was creepy in the sense of it's a bloody hand. And, you know, I think you could quickly tell after that second of what is this? It was, you know, he's in pain and it's a curse. But it doesn't detract from, you know, even the things that he says, like, I do need comfort, but not
enough.
Right?
Yes.
Like, so, yeah, there's double entendres there, everyone.
I loved how he spoke to the hand. Anytime it shows up, he has this nonchalant vibe with the hand that I'm just like, oh, that's so sexy.
Yes. Yeah. But, so many good scenes. So many good scenes. Like, and obviously between the two leads, the drunken confession on the couch, oh gosh, the I love you, the Mount Hala scenes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, he said this a few times. When people ask him what's his favorite facial feature or the thing he likes about himself, he's always said two things: his brows, which he got from his grandpa, and his lips, which he got from his mom. And he joked that the peaks of the mountain are like his lips. So yeah, Mount Hala be doing lots of things these days. But yeah, and then the cute, playful scenes where he flirts, like the one in the park where he is like, I don't know which scent you would like. You know, that was super cute. So it's just a very different side of Shin Yoo that normally he doesn't show to anyone else.
Yeah.
Not even
Yura.
No, not exactly. As you see in this last episode, she says certain things, right? Like, I've never heard you say I love you or all this stuff. So she recognizes her man or her ex is changing. And the internet, I've seen this said on a bunch of different articles, but the way that Shin Yu talks is very distinct, right? The writers have written him in a certain way. And when he falls under the love spell, his kind of stream of consciousness that he has with Hongjo, right? It's super honest. He can't help it. It's his heart fighting against his mind. And it's just so funny. And he pulls it off so well and naturally. It's like he's contradicting himself every second.
Yes.
Like, oh, don't go. You know, I don't care. Oh, please stay. Like, it's just, but it's just so fun. And he pulls it off.
You know what it is? I think that his stream of consciousness is what we experience, but in our heads. Mm-hmm. When you first start dating and you're like, oh, should I call him or should I call her? Oh, I'll wait 3 days and then I'll text back and all that stupid stuff.
Yep.
He's just saying it out loud. Mm-hmm. And I just love it because you see the struggle. It shows you that this person is really right now infatuated with you and wants to know everything about you. So I really love that for him. Yeah.
And it's just like you said, he's a softie inside and he's letting it out in front of Hongjo, right? It's like the shell is the shell, but this is who he is inside.
Exactly.
I agree. A scene that people may kind of just skip over is the one at the bus stop when Hongjo is drunk.
Yes.
He comes, he's sitting next to her. He says he's worried. They have a little conversation. And it actually kind of pulled at my heartstrings because I think it's the first time she kind of slips and says, you're bad, you're mean for not calling me anymore. And he's like, you told me not to call. And he's like, what's, you know, and like they it bothers him, obviously. But she lets it be known. Like she misses his calls, right?
Yeah.
Like, the cracks start to show, like they start to become a little bit more honest. I don't know, like those little moments, they do add up. Like they help navigate kind of the ebb and flow and the crescendo of their relationship, and it makes it believable. I also think that the PPL isn't super awkward or apparent, which I appreciate. The integration is great.
Let's talk about the PPL for a moment, because I feel like Subway is out. Mm-hmm. Right? And the new thing is this fireworks bridge, because we saw it in See You in My 19th Life. We've seen it in Destined With You. And it's coming in the new like historical drama, I think at the end of October with, what's her name? The girl who did the red sleeve.
Oh, is it?
It's Juno. Yeah. I just saw a trailer of the drama this morning and the firework bridge is there again. I'm like, yo. This is the new tourist trap that we need to go to, because one, it's beautiful, but in three back-to-back shows, it's a lot.
Yeah. Iseong.
Iseong. Right. Yeah. Thank you.
I wonder if it's because they're all from the same production company. They do tend to use the same settings over and over.
That's true.
And it makes sense in a historical, I think, context. It's like the fireworks for China, you know, how they like
shoot
versions. But that bridge scene, obviously it's gotten lots and lots of airtime. It's great.
I loved their hug at the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cute.
Yeah, the flashbacks is very, very cute.
Yeah. We've had quite a number of goblin references. And I loved, for me, when she was in the elevator and she sees him for the first time in the elevator and she crouches and she's just like, oh, I'm not ready. Why are you here to get me? And he's all like, what are you? You're so weird. You're so weird. What are you doing? They're just cute to me. And I love Goblin. So the references, she's like, I'm ready to go to the tea house with you, girl. We all are.
Yeah. Seriously. Get in line.
Yeah, get in line. Exactly. And then when Hongju calls him to try and open the box and she sings Abracadabra by the Brown Eyed Girls, I just started doing the dance while she was doing it, because that was such an iconic song back in its time.
That's
but
true.
I thought it was hilarious. She doesn't mind looking a fool in front of him.
Yeah, It's true. It's true. Both of them. I think that's probably why the whole enemies to lovers, you're showing all of it, you know?
Yeah.
So you get to really love and know the real person. The pop culture references is really interesting. I think they said in some interviews because the director just loves Marvel and like loves movies, you know, but they've done like Muggles, Harry Potter, right?
Yes.
We've done the I Am Groot, which is definitely Avengers. Like you said, they're also doing references back to popular Korean dramas and songs, and I am loving it too. I probably haven't caught all of them, but that is funny. It adds a little something. It's like a little Easter egg and a little wink to the audience.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then there was a scene where Jake Young tells Hong Jo when he has like, I think they went for coffee one evening and he's trying to tell her, don't like me. And then he says, you got fooled by the prejudice that those who like animals are always good people. Mm-hmm. That just light bulb in my head. Not to say I didn't know that, but I haven't seen that in a K-drama before.
Mm.
Where you're sort of acknowledging the biases, because it does happen again when Hong Ju is reading the spell book and she's like, what is this? And then she's like, hold on. Why do I believe Western spells and not Korean ones?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I love the little, hey, wake up people, and don't, it's almost like, don't just accept Western ideals. Yours is just as important. And yeah, the homage to that, loved it.
Yeah, the self-awareness, like speaking almost through the, what is it called? The fifth, like to the fifth screen or something.
Yeah.
You're breaking the wall.
Breaking the wall, yeah. I loved it.
That is true. I will say breaking the wall. Yeah, I think the parts where Roon shows through is the fear scenes where she knew, right? He's scared of bugs, scared of dogs, he's scared of heights.
Yes.
He's not acting much as Roon. Roon is scared of those things. So I think especially on that
the big bridge,
yeah, he was, oh my gosh, his body language, I was like, you are scared, poor giant baby.
I was watching the behind the scenes videos of that, mm-hmm. and you could tell that he did not like it. He was really scared, and when it ended, he just collapsed on the ground. He's like, okay, it's over, I'm done. He's so funny.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I've seen floating around the internet before we move on, some people have been saying Tang Xinyu is a red flag.
Why?
Yeah, right? He's definitely not the typical bad boy, right? Like, I do get it. He is hot and cold. He is like kind of like trying to hide his feelings, saying like, I don't like you. It's narrow coupling. It's a spell, whatever. Like, you know, but I think though, ultimately he does end up being honest, letting his feelings spill out. And I don't know, maybe it's because people see that as love bombing. Maybe it's because he is technically cheating, which I'm usually very like angry about and anti, but like in this, just the way that they set it up just works. But yeah, red flag? I don't think so.
I don't think he's a red flag. I do think he could be more honest with his communication though, because the hot and cold, really, I don't like it. But for her, I don't know. I don't know. I would say he's like a beige flag. Mm,
okay.
I think he's a beige flag, not red.
Yeah, I can accept that. The beige flag is okay.
And he has broken up with his girlfriend, but she's just like, I need time. I need this. And he's trying to work with her on that. But he also recognizes, hey, I've been with this person for 7 years. I can't just up and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do it in a way that honors both of us. And I think that's where he's coming from. But she's not making it easy. And she's also not being honest because she has her side piece.
Right, right. And she even lies, right? When she calls, when she calls Hong Jo out, and says like, oh, we're getting married. His parents
are
like, yeah, girl, that was the conversation like a while ago. Now you are broken up.
Yeah, yeah. But you don't want to feel like Hong Jo has taken everything from you.
Mm-hmm.
She has that possessive, you know, vibe with her.
Right. Especially to someone, quote unquote, lesser than her, who is nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
It's a pride thing. It's a pride thing. The other thing that surprised me in this drama, it could be because it's Netflix, they do curse.
A lot.
Yeah. Like even Hong Jo saying 나쁜 새끼, I was like, what? Is this what she's saying? Right? And it's the, I mean, I guess the equivalent, what is it? I don't know. There's not like a great English equivalent, I guess, but yeah. It's almost like you ass, you jerk, you arrogant. Yeah, something, but it's a little stronger than that. So I was surprised. And every time she says it, it gets a rise out of him, right? It like, yeah. It causes him to be like, what? Why? Why am I this? You know, like, exactly. Why do you feel this way?
Why do you feel this way? Or I need to look at myself and be more decisive. Because I feel like anytime she says that, then he takes a very direct action.
That's true.
And I do agree with the swearing, though, because usually you'll say, 나쁜 놈아, like, you bad guy.
Yeah.
But now it's like, ooh, free for all. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a different strike. That's true. You know what? It does kind of wake him up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he realizes, oh, I need to be a little more clear, or I need to do act on this. So that's true. I also thought it was really funny when we're talking about our favorite moments and quotes, when she, the first time they go to his mountain house and they're going to do the spell, and he's like, we're here alone. Isn't the first thing, you know, that you ask, like, oh, are we going to, you know, and she's all just like, why are you nervous? And you know, he's like, yeah, I'm nervous because I think you're going to do something to me. And she says, you don't have half the appeal of pork belly.
Yeah.
And I think that was hilarious. Then in one of the interviews, he even said he was a little bit taken aback by that. In the script, it only had two of those, half of half the charm. Oh. And she added the extra ones. And I was like, she was just really getting into character there.
I love that. At the same time, I know, girl, you're lying. But let's just say at the time she did the other guy, Jae Kyung. So I understand her. But yeah, that scene was cute because she does this whole cute, trying to be sexy. Why? Do you think?
Yeah.
That was a cute scene. Another scene. Anytime he's jealous, I feel so good. And I don't know why, because maybe he is portraying his jealousy in a very interesting way to me. But it's so, one, it's so cute. It's so hot. It's so at the same time, I'm kind of like, where are you coming from? Where do you get this energy? You have a fiancé. Bro, what are you doing? So, yeah. I just like it when he gets jealous and he's like, where are you? Who are you with?
100%. So, so cute. But yeah, at the same time, when you're thinking about logically, you've got a girlfriend, you know, you have no right. And yet he can't help it. He can't help himself. And I think because it's so different than how he normally would be, it is very cute. And Rowan does a great job. The expressions, the tone, it's super cute. It's like in love, you just become a little fool, and it's super cute.
That scene where she goes to him and says, I just got slapped by your girlfriend, and they have a little monologue, and then she says, what do you want to do with me? It's as if you're playing with me, you're hot and cold, then you feel me out, it's cowardly. And then he takes action, goes back to the point of anytime she calls him out, then he becomes assertive and sure in his decision making. I would like for him to just do it and not wait for her to challenge him or not wait for her to say, you're confusing me.
But then this drama would be over in 6 episodes. We need to draw it out, right? And I will say, they didn't make us wait until episode 8 or whatever for the first kiss. So thank you to the writers and the crew.
Okay.
We got one in episode 6, even though it was an imaginary one.
Can we talk about that? Why was the imaginary kiss way hotter?
So hotter.
Than the real one.
It was short and sweet, but man, yeah, it was just the chin.
The chin?
Yeah.
The lips were lip-sync?
Yes.
They were moving?
It was not a fish kiss, y'all.
No, it was not a fish kiss. It was not a fish kiss, and I was very happy with it.
Yes, and I think ever since then, we've gotten, I think, a kiss in almost every episode.
Yeah.
Which, I'm loving this, even though they're not even together technically yet, so.
That's true. That's true. I'm hoping we get more and better, like, episode 6. Because I thought episode 6 was like, oh, is this a teaser of what we're going to get? And it flatlined a little. I do think maybe it will pick up when they're official.
Yes. I think you're right. I think they're still feeling each other out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, both the real kisses have been very sweet and kind of, right, which makes more sense usually anyways, like, as you're starting out. Versus, I think the imaginary kiss, he was drunk. There was just like in the moment passion. I don't know. Yeah, let's bring back that energy. We need more of that. But like you said, if he were to be more direct, which I think he will be, at the end of episode 10, we get a little glimpse of both of them basically saying, we're going to get a lot of hate here. So we know that. If we take a stand, he's like, I'm just going to publicly now be on your side. I'm going to take a stand. So it does look like he's going to go for it. But that means that they're going to have to brave some finger pointing and bad mouthing, especially if they're going to be open about it, right?
Yeah.
And I think you would kind of mention this earlier about Chaegyeong. Who is he? What's his character? What's his role? The timing's so off between him and Hongjo. However, I personally don't think he's a bad guy.
Okay.
And I think he will try to have her back and protect her and him, even though her coworkers won't.
Mm. You know, I do think her coworkers will warm up to her.
Like, you think so?
Yeah. They'll give her a hard time in the beginning, but I do think over the past couple of episodes, they've been slowly warming up to her. And I think her manager is definitely going to be on her side.
I think you're right. The manager will be. The two girls, I don't know. I mean, I feel like they have been warming up, but it's also because they were saying our enemy is the woman on the first floor. You know, they thought they were all kind of, right? But now that if Hongjo is with Shinyu, I don't know. The jealousy might be there. We'll see, I guess. We'll see.
They'll switch again.
Yeah. I have a couple other predictions.
Yes, please. Let's talk about predictions.
Yes. I made these before I saw the two episodes this week, but some of them still hold true. So, Incho, the past life Hongjo, the shaman that apparently did this whole curse, was killed. I think she was not murdered by Changmujin, who is Roon's, right? Like Shinyu's predecessor.
Okay.
But I think that's how it was written into history. And in my mind, seeing the childhood flashbacks, them growing up together, and then him coming as, you know, a grown up and basically saying, like, I love you and let's be together, I feel like they're star-crossed lovers. Because in that time, he's a yangban, he's a nobleman, and she's this child who we don't know.
She
was, you know, placed with the shaman.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why yet, obviously. But we know that, like, the Chang family will not accept her, right? We know that that's not going to be an easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've also seen that the nursery shop or the garden shop owner is someone that is, I feel like we've seen enough to know that he's the one placing the curses in present day.
Yeah.
So I think he remembers his past too, so he must play a part.
Uh-huh.
And he, right? He had mentioned that Hongjo reminds him of his wife, his late wife. And so I wonder if the parallel there is that situation that's playing out in modern day with Shinyu, the garden owner, all that, is mirroring what happened in Mujin's life in the past.
Okay.
Right? And
yeah.
The girlfriend, Yura Nayeon, might even play a part, especially because she is teaming up with the garden owner. Maybe she was Mujin's betrothed. Maybe she was just a noble lady back in the day. She did say, right, when they were walking through the palace, how she loves palaces. She might have been a princess in a past life. That might be some foreshadowing, hint dropping. But I think regardless, whether it was Mujin's dad, whether it was Nayeon in her past life, when they find out about Mujin and Incho, Roon and Hong, you know, Roon and Poa's characters, in order to force Incho out of Mujin's life, I think they might you know, there's a few different ways this can play out, but possibly they force her into an engagement with the garden owner, or maybe the garden owner is someone like that's high up and he like says, you're going to be mine. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that there could be some tie there, which is why he's so possessive.
Yeah.
And then I think that's the crisis that leads to that scene on that bridge, right? Where Woojin hugs Ingcho and says, let's run away.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a wild prediction, but I feel like, yeah, Nayeon, the garden owner, they all play into somehow causing Hunju's death, but I don't think it was necessarily Woojin that directly caused it, but it puts her in danger.
I completely agree with you, because I think that my prediction is, in her moment of death, in that moment, she sees Woojin, like, he's the one who comes to her. And I feel like what she said in that scene of I'll never forgive you, or I'll kill you, or whatever she said, it was more so because of you, look at all the pain that I have gone through. Mm-hmm. So not necessarily he did it, but the people around him did it. Mm-hmm. And so for him, that's the guilt he's feeling right now, where he feels like, oh my gosh, what if I'm her enemy in the past? Mm-hmm. The same vibe of see you in my 19th life, but it turns out that it wasn't An Bo-hyun's character who harmed her, really. Mm-hmm. So I strongly feel that's what we're going to get to. Yeah. I don't think he killed her.
Yeah. But there's a twist.
Yeah. There must be a twist. I do think he blames himself, but I don't think he killed her.
Yes. And I think the blame part, I wonder if Woojin willingly placed himself and his family under a curse, so that there was some sort of tie with Ingcho, right? Knowing that maybe generations down the line, it would lead them back together. Because that letter that we see in the preview,
it's
him writing, hey, I'm so sorry, but I need the family to take care of the shrine.
And
there will be a curse, right? So I wonder if it was a way to just keep that like string of red fate kind of going. But regardless, we do know more spells will be used, because there's two books now.
Exactly. And good and evil.
Good and evil. And there's two people who can do those spells. Three, I guess, if you count the grandma. I don't know. Maybe she will come in at the end and help, like, what's his name? Like Dumbledore at the end or something.
Yeah.
it's interesting. And there's so many questions that are sprinkled throughout that don't really quite get answered. They just get dropped in. Like, for example, why does the garden shop owner know how to do curses?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. Did he drink the love potion?
Yes, exactly. Like, who drank the love potion?
Yeah.
Still a question.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot that's got planted there. Like, who was the one bitten by the snake? You know? Like, was there a childhood connection between Hongjo and Shinyu that they didn't know, but maybe they were two kids playing back in the day and
he
remembers this girl getting bit? I don't know. Or was it from the past life? There's just lots of things that they've planted for us to kind of discover, which is fun.
Do you think we have enough time with only 6 episodes left?
Yeah, right. I mean, they must start to move pretty quickly. They've done a good job of just planting things here and there. So I guess things will move more quickly, especially if at this point, episode 10, at the end of episode 10, they're saying, we're going to go public. We're going to be together. Mm-hmm. We're willing to endure. That means going against family. That means going against friends. That means going against the mayor and ex and the law, you know, what is it? Nayeon's side piece who owns that big corporate, you know, there's a lot. So I feel like there's going to be plenty of opportunity for antagonism from all sorts of ways, plus the stalker, the garden shop owner. So yeah, I think there's going to be a lot that happens through that. Plus now the Red Hand is back.
Yes.
And how will that throw a hitch into everything? Will he make that connection that, oh, this hand was Ingcho Hongju's hand?
But also, am I going to push her away because the hand is back? That means that I'm about to die soon.
Yeah. Or am I going to cause this to happen again?
Ooh.
You know? Because I will say, I know we keep going down these different paths. There's a lot there. But as Eungcho, the scene where Eungcho is a child.
Yeah.
And Woojin as a child asks her, can you see the future? And what does it hold for me if I go the military route?
She did see it.
She sees a red hand. Yeah. A bloody red hand. I don't know if she knows what that all means.
Yeah.
But she willingly kept walking down that path. So I don't know. I don't know if she knew in present day, knowing what he knows, you know, I don't know how far it's been revealed to him, will allow Hongjo to repeat mistakes of the past or get hurt again because of him. So I think there will still be a lot of like push and pull, because it's six episodes. Yeah. We can't have a happy ending at, you know, opposite tone. But I will say the writers and the director do a great job of creating tension, releasing tension, causing natural situations to bring the two together, because they've said at least two or three times, let's not see each other, let's stay away, let's, you know, they're trying,
but it's just
fate, life keeps bringing them together.
I agree. Wow, okay. I loved that scene where I don't remember if he was talking to grandma, but he's like, how come I remember everything and she doesn't know anything?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're yet to see what exactly he remembers. Like he knows she was in his past life, etc. But what exactly was the thing between them? And I think because of that, that's when he became more bold, mm-hmm. saying, hey, you're my person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that they had that past connection and remembering how he felt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And speaking of past life, like that brief glimpse that he saw, he thought he was hallucinating when he was in the palace and he saw, right?
Exactly. He saw her.
Yeah, the hanbok. And in that scene, though, she was wearing nicer clothing. She had her hair up. So she was married or pretending to be married at that point. So I wonder if, see, this is all like my conspiracy theories. Like she was forced into a marriage, right? With someone that was a nobleman. So maybe that nursery shop owner is something, and now maybe they're running away. I don't know. The photos I've seen, even on like Instagram, he's not wearing his usual clothing, so it's, I don't know,
there's, I think, so there's much maybe there.
A battle. Like, it's, people are piecing things together. It's wild. And actually, this is a very random but very fun fact. So you know how the door code in Destiny with you, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And she's like, you need to change that. If you remember back to She Would Never Know, there's a scene where he's drunk and his tumbe has to take him home. And she's like, what is the door code? And he says it's his birthday. And apparently it's his birthday, 9/24. So that's, you know, today in Korea. Happy Hyunsung Day, I guess.
Yay!
Yeah. And so that's pretty fun. But all this to say, so many parallels. It's really fun to see just Roon acting in different characters and different projects. Shin Yoo is such a evolution, I think. He wouldn't have been able to do this role
if he hadn't earlier. Done. Yeah, I agree. I feel like with every project, Roon is growing in his skills and also in his like presence in the story. So I'm just very excited to see where he goes. I don't know. How old is he? He's like 27.
27. Mm-hmm.
Okay. 27.
1996. Yeah.
Okay. When I'm thinking about Gong Yoo did Coffee Prince when he was, I think, 29.
Oh.
28 or 29. And that was his breakout role for the next thing. So part of me is hoping this is the thing that catapults him, because he has another drama coming out at the end of October.
Yep, Wedding Battle.
Yeah, with
Cho Yi Young from All of Us Are Dead.
Yes,
Hospital Playlist.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be cute too.
Yeah, it will be. He looks very good in a hanbok. The way that his tone and the way he speaks changes.
Yes,
even in Destined with You, between Woojin, between Shin Yoo, it's very distinct.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows how to wear a hanbok really well.
It was made for him. And a three-piece suit.
Yes, both. Both. Yeah, both. He wears very well.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, with the She Would Never Know, that was his last real like romance role. And it was when he was quite young. It was like 23, I think is what he said, 23. And so I know in other interviews he said that someone, like a sonbaenim actor, had asked him, like, how old were you when you did that? And he was like, oh, yeah, I was in my early 20s. And he's like, well, what do you think about doing another kind of love story? Mm-hmm. Because now that you're older, because what could a 27 or a more mature woman do? And exactly. We're seeing it, you know?
We are. Yeah. I think that was, I forget his name. He was the dad in Reply 1997.
Oh, the one that was in the House on Wheels with
that,
him?
That's the guy who asked that question.
Mm.
I loved the House on Wheels episode, especially when the extraordinary you cast came on. Ugh, perfection. And Joboa's next drama is with Lee Jae-woo. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, ooh, best friends. Go, girl. Collect them all.
I know. So many connections. It's a small circle. You know, I know it not is. All actors, not all actresses know one another. But I think, what is it? Roon had dinner or drinks with An Bo-hyun not that long ago.
Yes. Yeah. Right?
So another Joboa connection. Yeah.
And with who? Joboa didn't act with An Hyo-sub, but I know An Hyo-sub and Roon are friends.
Yes.
Because in A Time Called You, An Hyo-sub had said the only person he can do that scene with is Roon.
Yes.
Which I thought was super sweet because there's safety, there's care, there's love, there's emotion there, and there's trust there. Yes. So yeah. Good on them. I love the friendships.
Yeah, and that cameo, right? 7 minutes, but I was pleasantly surprised. It wasn't your typical cameo.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a risk.
Yeah.
And the fact that he and his management company, I think this is where I see he has more agency now to say yes and no to things.
Yeah.
But he was willing to do it for his friend. I think he knew that, you know, the series itself was going to do well. You want to support. He didn't get any payment for it. He asked that instead they send and he was up a food truck under his name, right?
Yeah.
So that he could like kind of show off. But yeah, it's like that one. If you guys haven't watched it, please go watch it. It's really good. It does kind of throw you for a loop. You do have to pay attention, but the cameo was not what I thought. Very, very cool. They both were able to kind of get into it. And it was the first time they'd ever worked together, they said, professionally in acting. So it was, like you said, it was their kind of affection, friendship, trust, all those things coming into one space to be able to do, push the envelope a little bit.
Exactly. In the world. Exactly. And for our listeners, we're talking about A Time Called You. You know, I think we have to do an episode on A Time Called You because I have a lot of feelings for that show. And I think I need to talk about it.
Yes, so let's talk about it.
Okay. I'll message you. And when you come back, y'all, Sylvia is going to Korea.
Yes.
In a couple of days. So when you come back, we can schedule something and talk about A Time Called You.
Yes. And I'll give you guys all the tea.
Yes.
About anything that I pick up in Korea. I'm super excited. I think it'll be really fun. I always have fun when I go there. But this time, yeah. We'll see because, yeah, the Destined with You is still airing.
Exactly.
So I probably will miss some of it since I'll be on a trip. But at the same time, I'll be able to kind of see in real life if, you know, there are adverts or like if people are saying things in real life, like that will be kind of cool to experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What other things would you like to see in the show before it ends?
I mean, obviously more Shin Kung heart, you know, heart beating scenes kind of thing. Like I would love that. The chemistry is off the charts. I think that the baddies will get, I don't know, what they deserve, right? I'm not a huge fan of Yuda, so I'm okay with her kind of falling off. But I also think they will be kind to her just because she still spent a significant amount of time with Shinyu. She did love him. So I feel like in the end, even if he cuts things off, he'll do it in a very respectful, kind way. Maybe he'll even like help her if she's in a tight spot. I would love to see some questions answered. You guys, we need to know. Like,
I agree.
So many questions. Like, how does she know he doesn't like kusari, right?
Broccoli. Yes.
Like, that's what makes me think they have that tie, but I don't know. Like, you know, he said someone got bit. Was it her? Was, you know, how does that happen? I'd like to see how his family reacts. Because it sounds, yeah, because his mom's not a fan of Nayeon, but his dad is, because he wants Shinyu to get married, you know, carry on the line. So I wonder if it'll be okay that Hongju takes the place. Yes.
Let's briefly talk about that. I don't think the dad is a fan of Yura. I do think the dad sees her as a means to an end, which is, I need my son married. He needs an heir. We need to continue the family line. So if Hongju were to show up, I truly believe his mom will be in support of Hongju because she doesn't really like Nayeon.
Yeah.
And I do think the dad may put up a bit of a fight, but not too much.
Yeah.
Because he is getting married.
Right? Yeah. I do. I agree. I think they'll come around. They'll come around for sure.
Speaking of family lines, oh my gosh, there is drama in my family, which I never knew was a big deal. Because for our listeners, I'm single and I'm not really keen on having kids. And all of a sudden, my dad is like, oh, you know, you may want to think of like storing your eggs, have some kids later and stuff. And I was like, no, I'm not really keen. And, you know, I don't believe in this family bloodline and whatnot. But my dad has moved to Ghana and he is one of the oldest patriarchs in the family right now. And he's just telling me all the family drama. And this whole bloodline thing and continuing the family line, it's a thing. Like, it's,
wow.
And it's so shocking because I know of it, but it's never been a topic of discussion in my family. So now when I hear my dad speaking about it and people coming to him and saying, you got to speak to this person, like they're not continuing the line. You got to go to the family house and go talk about this. And we need a meeting. I'm so fascinated.
Wow.
Because it just draws on more of the parallels that Korea and Ghana have culturally.
So. Yeah. No, when you had mentioned that, I remember when I first joined the K-Dramatics. You talked about it. I think Doris may have, like, Kay did definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
We all talked about being the oldest, like first daughter kind of thing. And the, what that means within the family. There were so many parallels. It blew my mind. I relate in some way. So I am the oldest of three daughters. My dad is the only son, which is why he was a big deal. He has four sisters. Obviously, the Choi family name is not going to live on. But I remember telling my grandma and grandpa, so my dad's parents, that when I was very young, I was like, I will keep my name, you know? And that was a thing that I said very young, very precocious. I didn't know that they remembered that until my grandma, who passed away a few years ago, she mentioned it as a when I was an adult before I was getting married. And I remember thinking, like, I'm still going to do it, but I'm just surprise that my words, right? Like what that means something. To you.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think when I said that to my dad too, I could tell we were texting and I could tell he paused the texting and a couple of hours later he was like, hey, you just, you know, he never said the family line, which is very interesting to me. But he did say, you know, when you're older, kids will take care of you. And, you know, the social system is, the structure is not, it's very complicated in the West, et cetera, et cetera. And my response had been, I think it's a burden to put on kids that you'll grow up and take care of me. I should be planning so that I have the systems around me to take care of myself. And I could tell that hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
He didn't respond to that. A couple of days later, he was like, okay, I understand. And I was just like, oh, at first, I've never really wanted kids, but I knew I would have kids because
my mom loved kids. And I was willing, very interesting way to think about it, but I was willing because of my mom. But when my mom passed, I was like, oh, yeah, I don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting thing to be experiencing this now with him and his side of the family, which we don't really know. And he's now like trying to connect us to the roots and things. And you're like, oh, I don't really care. But it's a big, like my family has a family crest. And they have a family house and there are branches. And it's a whole political system, which I find fascinating now.
Yeah. And do you feel like that pressure? I mean, because you have a brother.
Yes.
You know? So wouldn't the family name be passed on through him?
Yeah, it will. But I'm also the first. I'm the first daughter in my family, but I'm also the first granddaughter on my mother's side. Mm-hmm. I am the third granddaughter on my dad's side, and my cousins, my two other cousins, have kids. So I'm just like, on my dad's side, I'm like Prince Harry. Like, there are so many people ahead of me.
Yeah, you're spare. You know.
There's so many people ahead of me. Like, you know, I'm a spare. Don't bother me. But because he is one of the oldest patriarchs now, because my cousin's dad, my uncle, passed away many years ago. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like, there does seem to be some implications to like my role and what is expected and what, but I'm pushing it. I'm not getting into it.
These are grown up family dynamics and situations. Yeah. I relate to you quite a bit just because I've always said I don't want children. I would reconsider if my partner did, but my partner was open to not having children. And I do know for my grandparents and my parents, it was a thing that they struggled with.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Especially because I am the oldest granddaughter, grandchild on my mom's side. So I guess it doesn't really matter there so much. But on my dad's side, yeah, he's the only son. Obviously, the family name wouldn't be carried on through us. But I think that they just wanted to see, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just in their minds, you get married and you have children. Mm-hmm. And our family is very close-knit. We have a big family. So I think they just expected that. Mm-hmm. And so when I said, I don't think I'm going to do this, it was just like, wait, what? And then, you know, they still very gently, my grandma, even until she passed, she was like, oh, are you sure though? Like, no. I mean, they didn't guilt me too much with like, oh, I really want to see them before I pass necessarily. But it was like, don't you want to be a mom that's a bit younger so that the, you know, there was a lot of that. And then I think my dad loves kids. So he wants to be a grandpa.
Yeah.
Versus I think for my mom, she actually took a step and she, to her credit, did come back and was like, you know what? Live your life. When I was raising you three, you know, as an immigrant, we were just so focused on the day to day and like getting through and like making a future for all of you. But, you know, it's about living, is about enjoying your life too. Mm-hmm. And so if you guys can do that just with your, you know, you too, then, you know, do that. Like, stay close to your sisters, make sure, you know, everyone's taking care of one another, that sort of thing. So I don't know. She does kind of go back and forth depending on if, you know, her church friends or her friends have grandchildren and that sort of thing. But I think for the most part, they have accepted it. It has taken a little while, but I get it. It's grown up things, especially as we get older too. At a certain point, like, it's not even an option. So
exactly. Yeah.
Family dynamics. Yeah.
Always interesting.
Very, very.
Well, we've spoken at length.
How should we end this? I feel like we talked about quite a bit. We covered lots and lots of ground.
We did. How would you rate Destined with you so far?
5 shooting stars. Yeah. I love it. It gives me something to look forward to.
Yeah.
I try to stay off my socials a little bit because there's lots of spoilers day of, and especially from Korea and other countries that are like putting stuff up, which, you know, I was like, I want to experience it myself.
I agree.
I Yeah. And I try to wait until the end of my workday because it gives me something to look forward to. It's like a treat for me. I'm loving it. It's a ride. It gives me all the feels. I get very giddy and schoolgirly.
I love that. Healthy. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's helping me too. I remember we had a stats day, which is like a statutory holiday on a Monday. And then Tuesday I went into work and I was talking with a coworker and it just hit me. I was just like, wait, is tomorrow Wednesday? And I said it out loud and not in my head. And my friend was like, of course, yeah, tomorrow's Wednesday. And I screamed because I was like, yay! Destiny. Perfection. But like you, the spoilers are like up at 7:30 a.m. So when I wake up, I stay on Wednesday, Thursdays, I stay off my phone in the morning. And work has been a little interesting, if you will, in the last couple of months. So I actually watch before I go to work.
Yes.
To make the day like worth it. So I can think about it and be like, oh my gosh, I need to watch the scene again. So yeah.
Either way, it's helping us get through the work week.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me. It was so wonderful chatting with you. And it feels like a continuation of our DMs and our calls. So
it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I have to throw this in before we end. You had said, you know, all these connections. Destined With You came out on my birthday. That was a connection point for me too. Yeah, it's meant for me in this season. And I'm so glad that you're also enjoying it. And
yeah.
It's helping give life and energy. I do look forward to October 30th when Wedding Battle also comes out. But I don't know. I just don't have as much anticipation for that one for whatever reason as I did with Destined With You. But I am excited to see where he pivots and if he'll ever, you know, if Rowan will take on villainous scenes.
I would love that.
Yes. I think he's ready.
Yeah.
Our boy's ready.
Yeah. I think so too. I think so too. For our listeners, Sylvia, how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, well, I'm not a podcaster. I don't really do social as much, but you guys can find me on Instagram if you want to talk K-dramas. You can reach out at Choi Poyoung, which is my personal Instagram handle, or reach through the K-Dramatics. I know Carol and I have talked about, you know, doing lives, or we've done one with Kay recently, the last few weeks ago, talking about Destined With You.
Yeah.
Kay's in Korea teaching English. So she's got like the most up-to-date tea on
in
everything.
Korea, on the ground. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to see her if I can.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I'm excited. I feel like I'm so grateful that, Carol, we get to continue life. We get to talk about K-dramas. I, like I said, for whatever reason, people around me, they might watch, but they don't get excited like I do. So they're not on my level.
Yes.
You are. Like, y'all get it. So it's fun to be able to do the watch parties and talk about things and then share life together. So I'm stoked. Thank you for inviting me on.
Thank you for coming on. If you have stayed with us till the end, please let us know what you thought of the drama and of this episode. We will probably do another episode once the show is over to talk about our predictions, what came true. But for now, you can find me on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. I'm Carol. See you on the internet somewhere. Bye.
Bye.